The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Great theater through the first two games of this series, and Chris Paul is back.
All our guys are back together, and he's the guy.
Lobs to the rim. Punched into DeAndre Ayton.
Goes inside for the slam.
They can't be the more desperate team.
Oh, he banks it in. It's good.
Clippers are the hardest working team on the court tonight. You just play hard. It's win or go home, in my opinion, right now. I'm just leave it on the floor.
He is Jalen Rose. I am David Jacoby. We are Jalen and Jacoby. What is it
what
that we do?
We got a people.
We have Super Bowl champion, playoff Lenny, Leonard Fournette, joining us on the show in mere minutes. However, we start the show with Game 3 in Los Angeles, a must-win for the Clippers, and it was a win that they got against the Phoenix Suns. Jalen, what do you think of this performance from Los Angeles?
To start the game, it was about the big fella, Zubac, actually playing good defense, scoring the ball, grabbing boards. He had a double-double at halftime. Paul George performing like the best player on the Clippers, setting the tone. And how you end quarters really matters. When you have an emphatic dunk, that sends a message to your team and to the crowd. When you make a half-court shot, that's a banker. That sends a message. The opposite message that it sends when you miss two free throws at the end of a game. It was a must win for the Clippers. They stepped up and got it.
Jalen, 3 years ago, I could never imagine saying this sentence, but the Phoenix Suns really missed Campaign. Campaign, he's twisted an ankle, and he's key to this. I never would have thought that Chris Paul coming back into the game in the series and Devin Booker would combine to shoot 10 for 40 from the floor. What was it about the Clippers, or what was it about those two that really just hurt them?
Guard play is going to be crucial, as you acknowledge. And without Chris Paul in game one, Devin Booker was historically dynamic. In game two, our guy, Champagne and Campaign, was awesome as well. In this game, the guard play failed the Clippers. CP3 and Booker, they struggled from the floor. Cameron Payne left the game in the third quarter with an injury. And the Clippers guards were the difference. The defense of Patrick Beverley making Devin Booker uncomfortable with that broken nose. And Terrence Mann in the third quarter attacking and being aggressive and scoring buckets. Those become difference-making things for the Los Angeles Clippers. And the defense of Nicholas Batum goes under the radar. His ability to guard multiple positions, block jump shots. I've seen him block a few jump shots in these playoffs.
Great
and that's
point.
Really tough to do. So it was a complete team win by the LA Clippers.
Jalen, you played so many years in the NBA. You're the best NBA analyst in the game. However, I have an expertise that applies to this series unlike no one else, because I am the senior broken nose analyst. If you haven't noticed, my nose is on the wrong side of my face. So I want to talk to Devin Booker. First of all, Devin Booker, you should never have had your nose reset during the series, because it's going to get broken again. Number two, Devin Booker, if you don't get it reset, you don't have to wear the mask. Wait until the offseason to get it reset. When you put me and Devin Booker side by side, you can see clearly that we are on the same team. The nose should be in the middle of your face, but now it's on the side of your face. But I'll say this, Mr. Booker, take the mask off, dog. Take the mask off. If it gets broken again, it's broken again. You can get it reset again.
I disagree.
Again. But take the mask off. Why do you disagree?
For comfort. And as I see that picture of Devin Booker, he's a combination of both of us. He looks like me from the forehead up and you from the eyes down, in particular with that broken nose. With that being said, it has to be there for comfort, Jacoby. We've seen so many players in the history of the league play with masks and be productive. And shout out to Reggie Jackson, who you see continuing to be aggressive He helped turn their series around and their season around in a lot of ways. But in all honesty, that broken nose is there for protection, Jacoby. Guys like Patrick Beverley, they're going to be whacking at it. Guys like Morris, they're going to be whacking at it. I understand what you're saying, but I feel you need the mask for protection.
And Jalen, there was something I saw watching this game that was the most important footage of the entire game, and that was Kawhi Leonard. Listen, I'm a dad, you're a dad, we spend time with our kids, but why was Kawhi Leonard up in a suite with his children instead of down on the floor? Do you know what that tells me? That tells me he is not coming back in this series. When I saw that footage, I said, this man is not coming back in that series. Why is he watching the game up there instead of down on the floor, Mr. Rose?
I agree with you, Jacoby, and I'm happy that he is at the game to cheer for his teammates. It's great that he get a chance to spend time with his family. That's exactly why he chose to go home and be a member of the Clippers. But with that being said, that's the look of a man that ain't coming back this year, dog. That's what I see. He's dealt with that knee injury for multiple years. It flared up during these playoffs, and I'm pretty sure at all costs, he's trying to avoid surgery because he's already had it. And for me, that look is, hey, guys, this is where I'm going to be during your championship run. So if y'all go ahead and win this series, if y'all go ahead and win the championship, I'll
take the elevator down. I'll take the elevator down if y'all win the championship.
Move my guys on.
Well, Mr. Rose, one thing I know about players is they love to avoid surgery. You've needed surgery on your shoulder ever since we started this show a decade ago, and you still haven't gotten it. That is the Western Conference Finals. However, it's now time to turn our attention to the Eastern Conference Finals. Tonight, we have Game 2 between the Hawks and the Bucks. It is in Milwaukee, and that man, Trae Young, put on an absolute show in Game 1. What do the Bucks need to change in Game 2 to even the series?
The degrees of defending Trae Young. So he has unlimited range, which means you have to push up on him at half court. You can't allow him to just occupy that real estate. You got to try to get into him. The second thing, your bigs have to find a way to get up there on pick and rolls. They have to get up there. It's going to be less Lopez. It's going to be more Giannis at the five. You'll see guys like Bobby Portis out there. You got to get up there on Trae Young. Bogdanovich has been dealing with a knee injury. There's no DeAndre Hunter. Is Cam Reddish going to return? You have to find a way to upend Trae Young. And he does it in all phases, Jacoby. His float game also is what was killer in the previous game. That giant killer, how he keeps his dribble alive. And then lastly, his unique ability to pass the basketball. When the last time you seen somebody with the flair of the dramatic, throwing it behind the back, doing the shimmy when they're open, throwing it off the backboard. I remember a time we were in college at Penn State. They just entered the Big Ten. And somebody, may have been me or Jimmy, threw it off the backboard to see Webb. To show you how much the game has changed, Steve Fisher, who I love, and should be in the Hall of Fame, was so mad that he took the participants out of the game. That's how much things have changed in basketball.
My favorite part about that story is you don't even know if it was you. You don't even know if it was you. That's my favorite part about that story. You're like, this happened. It could have been me. It might have been Jimmy. I don't really remember. But one thing that I'm encouraged if I'm a Bucks fan is Giannis. There was a couple times after timeouts when they ran pick and rolls with Giannis and he just got easy alley-oops. Like, there was a couple times during this game when they dialed something up and he's just like, oh, I'll just get an alley-oop off of that. Like, Giannis Antetokounmpo is a two-time MVP, a defensive player of the year. He needs to assert himself, and what they need to do is decide that they're going to live off of Giannis getting these alley-oops, getting these easy buckets, because Chris Middleton hasn't been able to perform the way that they want him to. Jrue Holiday had a great game one. Hopefully he can also show up in game two. I have the Bucks winning game two. What about you?
I agree with you. And for me, the performance of Chris Middleton was the exception, not the rule. I think he's going to respond. I don't think he's going to have more shot attempts than points. Jrue Holiday played well, scoring over 30. That's something that you can draw upon. And I agree with you about your Giannis point. Watch, you're going to see Giannis defend and could test Trae Young a lot more in this game. And when he shoots it, he's going to run out and try to duck in and rim run. And so that's what you try to do. And that's what teams had been doing to the Hawks in the regular season these past couple of years, trying to get take advantage of those long rebounds and turn them into their big ducking in on the other end. So watch for Giannis trying to do a lot of that in this game.
Jalen, we have Super Bowl champion Leonard Fournette of the
LSU's finest Tampa Bay Buccaneers
joining us on the program in just mere minutes. Make sure you stay tuned to Jalen and Jacoby because that man is joining us right after this very short break. You're watching J&J.
Jalen and Jacoby is brought to you by Dos Equis. Get a DOS. Please enjoy responsibly.
Coming to you live above the Heineken River Deck here in Pier 17 in New York City. Welcome back to Jalen and Jacoby. Jalen Rose, the champ, is here right now. Joining us on the program is that man scoring the touchdowns for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. The champ is here. Leonard Fournette joins Jalen and Jacoby. Thank you so much for taking the time to join us today.
Yeah, thanks, man. Thanks for having me, man. I appreciate this for real.
I appreciate you joining the show. I have a quick question for you. Last year, you went from being on the Jaguars, being disrespected, being underappreciated, to joining the Buccaneers. Take us through what the highs and lows of last season were for you.
I think last year this taught me, you know, it brought me more focused than ever, and also it brought me more together with my family. You know, being me, you know, I've always been number one since high school, number one player in college too. So I think when I got cut, it kind of just set me back to what I used to do. You know, I had to get my rhythm back. You know, it was bothering me all through the season when I got signed by the Buccaneers. Every day, I'm like, damn, I really got cut. So it was bothering me too. So I just had to get my mind right, get adjusted. I was still new here too, so I had to get everything right.
The Bucs returned all 22 starters from last year. And you joined the team, obviously, midseason, as you just discussed. Do you feel like with a fresh training camp going into a season, you guys have the best weapons in the entire NFL on the offensive side of the ball?
Yes, I think we do. You know, you gotta understand, we didn't have training. I didn't have training camp with them, none of that. So the last 8 games when we finally get on the road, we was gelling. We won 8 games straight, you know? So to say that, and it's like we're in the NFL, that means a lot to see where we came from and how we was getting closer and closer each and every game. And like I say, the sky's the limit for our offense and for our team, period.
When you look at all those offensive starters that are returning, there's such a formidable weaponry that the Buccaneers have. However, a lot of focus is on the man under center, and that is Tom Brady. What is Tom Brady like in the locker room? What is he like off the field?
He displays the true definition of a leader, you know? Like I always tell everyone that I know, when it's playoff games, he was up 5:30, going over film. He was telling the team what to expect. This is what's going to happen in the game, because he's pretty much played against every defensive coordinator in the league. You know, he's been playing, 22 years? Like I call this my overhead, man. Like I say, I appreciate everything he does. It's just excellent to see greatness in my eyes every day. You know, I play next to the greatest player who's playing football every day. So just taking bit by bit from him, learning from him each and every day, and it's incredible to see what that man does.
Hey, Leonard, in a huddle, in a locker room, on the sideline, being surrounded by that greatness that is Tom Brady, he doesn't necessarily, as a fellow Michigan alum, have the physical attributes of what you consider like an all-time great. Yeah. So what do you think makes him and separates his greatness from everyone else?
I think his determination, his attitude, and his will to win. You know, he does, like, just like I think any other guy who plays this game, he's willing to do anything to win. You know, if that's for him to, if the running backs or somebody else to score touchdowns, it doesn't matter. You know, as long as we win, he's satisfied.
mean, not only did you win, you won the Super Bowl, and you guys had a unique celebration during the pandemic. You guys were on boats enjoying yourself. Can you tell us a little bit of what happened that afternoon in the sun? Maybe some adult beverages were had. I don't know.
Man, telling Brady, man, he's got 7 rings. You know, enjoy yourself. You know, coming from the Patriots to Tampa and doing it your first year with a team, with young guys and a lot of older guys too. It's incredible to see what he's done. His resume, it speaks for itself. You don't have to say too much about him. And like I say, just want him to enjoy himself.
The great thing about you guys' offensive weapons is Evans and Godwin, when they go to bed, they're like they're the best duo. Brady feels like he's the best quarterback. I know your tight end room feels the exact same way. Yeah. When you look at the landscape of running backs in the NFL, and I know, again, this is going to be your first full season with the team, where do you stack yourself amongst the top backs in the game? Because you had points in your career where you were trending in that direction.
I don't know. People, they're going to say whatever, you know what I mean? I don't really rank myself. I go out each and every year and prove everybody wrong, you know? It's like when I was Jacksonville, people said I was a bust. I had, 2 years, 1,000 rushing yards. Like I said, so it doesn't really matter. At the end of the day, they can say what they want. I'm a Super Bowl champion. A lot of people can't say that.
Yes, indeed.
And, like I said, I'm grateful.
You are a Super Bowl champion, playoff Lenny. You've got a Super Bowl ring. You put in work on the field. However, you also put in work off the field. Tell us about what you're doing in New Orleans with the Boys and Girls Club and your youth camp.
Yeah, so this Saturday I'm hosting, we're going to my fifth year, my fifth year football camp, Boys and Girls Club Academy. You know, guys who was faithful to me, my camp, who always come through for me, and I'm so happy to be able to give back to the kids. Because when I was younger, a lot of guys didn't come back to my city and do the same for us. So I just want to use my platform. You know, I'm going to have guys from the NFL, guys are able to come and support me. And also, just so they can see with their hands, touch, and it might be one of their favorite football players. You never know. I don't know the kids personally, but I just want to inspire them to let them know they could do what we're doing, be better. Because you never know if the young generation did a future. So, like, why not?
Hey, Leonard, before we let you go, and I'm a weakling, so I couldn't wait to ask a fast, powerful back like yourself this question. I asked it to Derrick Henry as well. What is it like to break a tackle or to stiff arm a defender and keep on going? What does that feel like?
Afterwards, when you do it, it's very exciting, you know, because at the end of the day, you know for a fact, you keep powering them, stiff arm them, doing whatever. In the fourth quarter, they're not gonna want to tackle at all. You know, it's just and like I tell the team, you know, it's a good feeling to break a grown man's will. You know, and that's what we do.
Well, we really appreciate everything you do on the field and, of course, what you do off the field in the city of New Orleans. Thank you so much for joining us on Jalen and Jacoby.
Thanks a lot.
When we
appreciate the love.
Return. Appreciate you so much.
Yes, thanks for having me, guys. Appreciate y'all.
When we come back, we will discuss the new head coach in Dallas. That is Jason Kidd and much more. You are watching Jalen and Jacoby. The Western Conference Finals got interesting last night with Game 3, and now we look ahead to Game 4, Saturday night, 9 p.m. on ESPN, and make sure you watch NBA Countdown at 8 to get ready for the game. Welcome back to Jalen and Jacoby. Jalen, we have some interesting NBA news. The Dallas Mavericks have hired Jason Kidd as the head coach. What impact do you think Kidd will have as the head coach of the Mavericks?
A major impact. In particular on Luka Doncic, who elevated himself into an elite player, one of the top players in the game. Who better to learn the game from than one of the great all-time point guards in Jason Kidd, who is a triple-double machine and a terrific leader on the floor, who has coaching experience not only as the head coach, but as an assistant coach also. I think if you're going to lose Rick Carlisle and you're the Dallas Mavs, Jason Kidd has a level of familiarity with not only playing with the organization, but knowing Mark Cuban, plus having a relationship with Nico Harrison, who they also hired to be the general manager. I think the Dallas Mavs did a terrific job of filling those positions.
There's been a lot of news about the Mavericks this offseason, and this is the first piece of good news for the Mavs. I think this is a great hire, and I look forward to them next season. Mr. Rose, one thing that you were not known for in your very successful NBA career is jumping off the floor. You were not a leaper. However, Keon Johnson of Tennessee at the NBA Combine. Look at this, 48-inch vertical. Jalen, what do you think about Keon Johnson's ups?
That is incredible ups, a 48-inch vertical. But how about the human highlight film, Dominique Wilkins? I remember for so long, we used to talk about him having a 50-inch vertical. And rest in peace to my brother, Mike Ham. We used to buy ankle weights, and we used to run for miles and miles and then get to the gym and take off the ankle weights. It made us think that we ran faster and jumped higher. I know you did that, too.
I tell you, the Velcro straps, the little 2-pound ankle weights. I can't dunk anymore. I just wish I could still dunk, Mr. Rose. I want to thank Leonard Fournette for coming through, and I also want to mention that we have exclusive content with Leonard Fournette on our podcast. Make sure you subscribe
yeah, we
and
do.
Follow the podcast as well. We'll be back on Monday on ESPN2.
Appreciate the love.
2 p.m.